Hello, all my listening friends. I hope you're out there having a good afternoon. And if you're on the road, make sure you keep your focus on the task at hand. If you miss anything on the show today, you can go to the Financial Framework Show website and listen to the recorded broadcast. Your safety is the most important thing. We had some great questions last week, as always, and I'm looking forward to talking to you and discussing different issues about debt, retirement, or money and how it relates to your lives. The call-in number for you is 1-800-732-6458. Again, the call-in number is 1-800-732-6458. Or you can call the WGAA radio station at 770-748-1340. That's 770-748-1340. And remember, there is no such thing as a dumb question. The only dumb question is the one that you don't ask. My goal for everyone who listens to the Financial Framework Show each week is for you to get out of debt and retire with dignity. I want to welcome any new listeners that have tuned in today and thank the ones who find the time each week to listen to me. Now, last week I talked to you about the proposed $3.8 trillion budget that Washington had decided to hit our country with. We talked about this incredible amount of money, and I gave detailed measurements of how much $1 trillion actually is. Well, this week, now we have another urgent reason to become debt-free. If the government debt didn't scare you a little bit, now we have another concern, and that is Social Security. Due to the number of people unemployed and due to the increasingly high number of people taking money from the government each month, the Social Security system is now paying out more than it's taking in. Now, the only two fixes for this disaster that I can see would be to either put people back to work or to borrow more money from someone else like Communist China. Since this is not going to be a simple fix, it puts the ball back into our court. We cannot do anything about what is happening to us in Washington, but we can make sure that we are not one of the many people who will be hurt by this incompetence. This Social Security disaster is no surprise to me, and I never thought that I would ever see a dime from it, and I hope you felt the same way. But we have a lot of people who are already depending on Social Security or will be soon. The Social Security system was intended to be a supplement to our retirement, and somehow down the line it became many people's only retirement hopes. Now, I don't think that our seniors have anything to worry about. At least I hope not. I think that whatever needs to be done to take care of the ones who are already depending on it will be fine. But for the rest of us, we need to take care of business. And if it were to be there for us, then that would be a pleasant surprise. But don't count on it. You see, getting out of debt is more than just the feeling of being in control. It is also being able to focus on what God put us on this earth to be. When we're consumed with earning a living and trying to make ends meet, we can never grow to our God-given potential. And we also have a hard time saving money for retirement due to being in debt. People don't realize it, but if they're making their debt payments, they're making enough money to become debt-free and also to retire. The problem is that people go their entire lives and debt just seems to happen. We wake up one day and we try to figure out what happened or where we went wrong. And then we just take it like, well, it's supposed to be this way and continue on with our lives. Many people only think about this when they sit down each week or each month to pay their bills. Then it hits them like a ton of bricks. Now, one of the major problems is that we have no plan for our money. When we pay off a car, maybe, that money just simply goes back into our budget or is used to buy something else. We simply have no plan. I like to relate it to maybe taking a trip. Are you the type who maps out your vacation, or do you just take off and wind up wherever? The answer to this is that most people carefully plan their vacations. Now, let's assume that you were going to the Northeast to visit some of the national landmarks and historic places. You would first figure out where you want to wind up, and then you would decide which stops and places that you want to make along the way. Then you would get a road map and carefully plan out a detailed plan that will get you there efficiently. Does this sound about right? We look forward to the trip, and we even look forward to planning it. The entire experience is a joy. In fact, it's a vacation. And the reason the entire experience is fun is because you know how to do it. You know how to Google locations, you know how to do the research, you know how to use online map programs, and you know how to book your reservations and excursions. But when it comes to planning your financial futures, when it comes to figuring out how to get out of debt, you have no idea where to even begin, and you don't have the proper tools to do it anyway if you did. We will even make excuses or simply act like being in debt is the way things are supposed to be. Well, I've got some real good news for you. The Financial Framework Seminar includes the personalized Equity Creator Financial Blueprint. Now, this is a real financial plan that shows you step by step how to become debt free. It even gives you your financial freedom date, which is the date that you become totally debt free, including your mortgage. And the average time is just 8 to 12 years while spending your same current monthly payments. You don't have to sell your things. You don't have to go on a starvation diet. You don't have to drive undependable vehicles. I mean, getting into debt is so easy, but getting out of debt is almost impossible, or at least that's what we think. Being in debt drains the life right out of people. It causes health problems. It's the number one cause of divorce in our country. Being in debt is miserable, so why do you need to make your life worse trying to get out of debt? I mean, selling your stuff and making your life even more miserable than it already is makes absolutely no sense to me. Getting out of debt does take some sacrifice, but not to those extremes, especially if you're paying your bills right now. All you need is a plan. And the plan is the blueprint, which is included in the Financial Framework Seminar. And it gives you a light at the end of your financial tunnel. It gives you a renewed hope. It'll relieve the stress, and it'll help avoid the situations that puts a strain on families and relationships. This is the real deal. Now, how would you feel if you found out a way to pay off your mortgage and the rest of your debts in maybe 9.5 years, just as an example? What would you feel like? Would it help you keep a good attitude on days when things just seem not to go right, or when one of life's unexpected little emergencies hits you? I mean, just knowing that you could be done, just knowing that you could be debt-free, and you would know the exact month and year that this could happen. I mean, this is big, really big, as Barney Fife would say when he got excited. Now, being in debt is like playing football with no goal lines. You make some progress this month, and then next month something happens and you're not back a few yards. Month after month, year after year, and even decades after decades, this process seems to repeat itself for our entire lives. Never crossing the goal line, always just trying to survive. And to bring the point home, how many people do you know who are totally debt-free, including their mortgage? Now, if you know more than a couple, then you're lucky. You know, the old devil, he finds it hard to infiltrate a good Christian home with drugs and alcohol. But he sure can find his way into our homes disguised as a credit card. And we not only open the door for him, we welcome him in with a smile on our faces. That is, while we open up the box to our new TV. He has our number, and we play right along with him. We fall for his tricks. You see, the debt and the devil, they're almost one and the same. They want to hurt us. They want to control our lives, every aspect of our lives. Think about it. The amount of debt you have tells you where you're going to live. It tells you where your kids need to go to school, or even if they can. It controls your vacations. It controls basically every aspect of your lives, including your sleep and a great deal of your thoughts. It never lets up. It never gives you a break. And it will destroy your marriage, your kids' lives, and your entire life if it can. How could something this bad not be directly related to the devil himself? You know, every time I help a family get out of debt, I can just see the old devil laying flat on his back, where he failed to destroy that family, where the family is no longer under his influence. This is such a wonderful feeling. And this brings me back to my opening remarks. The Social Security system is in trouble, and you need to take personal responsibility for your life and make sure that you don't count on this money for retirement. Because if you do, I am so afraid you will be disappointed. And now that you also know that there's a way for you to succeed while making your same monthly payments, there's really no excuse for you to fail. Like the old saying goes, you didn't plan to fail, you simply fail to plan. And don't forget, the Financial Framework Seminar has the plan. So I hope that you fully understand the vital importance of becoming debt-free, and I hope that you've made the decision to make it happen. That is the only way we can save the American people. Now, for the listeners in Cedartown and the surrounding areas, the Rolling Hills Baptist Church is putting on the Financial Framework Seminar. The contact person is Jason Slaughter, and his phone number is 770-639-1754. Again, Jason's number is 770-639-1754. Call Jason if you have any questions. Now, there will be a preview meeting held on Wednesday, February 24th at 7 p.m. and another preview meeting on Saturday morning, February 27th at 11 a.m. The preview meetings will last about 30 minutes, and you will have the opportunity to look at the system and decide if you want the personalized equity credit financial blueprint as your roadmap or if you want to continue your debt football game with no goal lines. Now, I know this sounds blunt, but you will never feel that I ride the fence on anything. I'm going to tell you like it is, even if it isn't popular or politically correct. Now, I'm planning on being at the Saturday morning preview meeting, and I look forward to meeting you and playing a part in your quest to become debt-free. Invite all your friends and neighbors to experience the wonderful feeling of knowing when they can be finished, when they can be debt-free. It is so powerful. It's absolutely life-changing. Now, I think that Dallas, Georgia is about as far east as WGAA radio signal extends. If you can hear this there, there's another church in Dallas that's also running the seminar. It's the Fortified Hills Baptist Church off of 120. The preview dates are Sunday, February 21st, right after the second service, and I think there'll be lunch provided for this one, and another one on February 24th at 6 p.m. The actual seminar will be held on Wednesday nights and again on Saturdays. This will give some added flexibility in attending the sessions. Now, I'm planning on being at both of these preview meetings, and I'm really looking forward to seeing you at one or both of these events. The contact person for this seminar is Mark Fricks. His number is 678-363-7267. Again, his number is 678-363-7267. And I honestly feel that this could be the most important financial decision that you'll ever make. You know, for more than 15 years, I've been on this mission, and I have seen and heard many amazing testimonies, and I hope that you will add your story to those memories. Now, we need to take a break and then come back for some phone calls and emails that have come in. The call-in number is, once again, 1-800-732-6458. Again, the call-in number is 1-800-732-6458. Or you can call WGAA radio station at 770-748-1340. That's 770-748-1340. We'll be back in just a minute.
It's the Financial Framework Show with Steve Barfield. Great opening remarks about Social Security. What's your take on that?
Well, the real problem with Social Security, though, Andrew, is that the government has actually borrowed from the fund the entire time that it's been in place. And that's the problem.
Yeah.
And had they left it alone and let the money build up, you know, they would not be a problem going on today. But now they have borrowed the money out, and they do not have the money to put back into its place, so it's going to struggle. And I don't think that the senior citizens, like I said earlier, I don't think that they have a lot to worry about. I'm thinking it's going to be okay for them. At least I'm praying so.
I hope so, too, because so many people rely on that. I mean, that's for some people, that's their only income.
That's their only that's their retirement.
And
Andrew, as young as you are, buddy, I don't want you to count on it.
I'm not going to. I'm probably either one of two things is going to have to happen. I'm either going to have to save for retirement, or I'm going to have to just work until I die.
Well, two things.
A lot of people are thinking about that, too.
Well, two things need to happen. You need to get out of debt.
Yeah.
Stay out of debt and save for retirement.
Absolutely. Well, I think we have a call on the line, Steve, so we'll go and take that right now. And good afternoon. You're on the Financial Framework Show with Steve Barfield. Hello.
Good afternoon. Thank you. I have a question regarding something a friend of mine is thinking about doing. He currently has a house that is not worth as much as what he owes on it, and he's thinking about just throwing up his hands and walking away from it and letting it go. I've been trying to tell him I don't think that's a good idea, so I just wanted to get your thoughts on it.
Well, that is definitely your opinion is correct in my opinion. I just think that people should work on saving their homes no matter what. Do you know what your friend's financial situation is other than the mortgage? Does he have car payments? Does he have credit cards or anything like that?
He does. He's able to make payments on all of them, though he's not really in any dire straits as far as being able to do that. He was just really disgusted with the fact that he's paying more for something than it's worth.
Well, but hopefully the prices will come back, at least to a point. And of course, as he pays off the mortgage and equity's built, then he is, and actually when he pays it off, it'll all be profit to him. So Does he sound like he's going to listen to you, or are you able to make any headway with him?
Well, I think he
banks are going to lend in the future, and they possibly, as tight as they are now, they may never lend to somebody that don't have an 800 credit score. And if your friend lets his mortgage go like this, that's definitely going to ding his credit to where he won't qualify for a long time based on the new rules. So maybe you can throw that argument at him and make him realize he has to live somewhere.
Okay.
Does that make sense?
Sure does.
All right. Any other questions?
Well, thank you so much.
Okay, sir. Thank you.
Yeah, that's. I appreciate the call, and that's a good point. No, we've made that point several times on this show. Selling your home should be the last thing you should ever do.
I mean, they should drag you out kicking and screaming.
Yeah. I mean, cause it's your. You have to have a place to live, and really, like you said, the home is so important.
Well, it's part of the family. Well, let me kind of talk just a little bit about that, because in fact, we didn't get the caller's name, but if this caller's friend, if he's paying his bills and he's just aggravated, then that doesn't make any sense at all. But let me talk to the ones of you that maybe are struggling out there, and you have credit cards and you have car payments and those type debts. You want to make sure that you make your mortgage payment first and foremost. Do not pay anything else until you pay your mortgage. The next things that you would pay would be your auto payments. You have to have a way to and from work. And you want to pay your secured debts first, which secured debts are something that can be taken away from you. Okay, now, if you have credit cards, what you want to do is you want to communicate with the credit card companies, and you want to ask them to give you some relief, to lower the interest rates, lower the payments, let them know that you're having trouble. And you'll hear me say this often, because it's a situation that goes on now in our country more than we want it to. When you're talking to the credit card companies, if you run into somebody that's not wanting to help you, then what you want to do is you want to just simply say thank you and hang up, and then call back again, because those large companies, you'll never talk to the same person twice, and eventually you'll get somebody on the phone that really and truly has a heart and understands the situation and wants to help.
Sure.
Now, if you were to get into a situation where you didn't run into somebody with a heart, then what you want to do is you want to ask for a supervisor, but you definitely want to talk to somebody that can help you and will and is willing to help you. Now, so let me recap this. You make your mortgage payment first. You pay your car payments because you need a way to and from work, and then you try your best to negotiate with the credit card companies if at all possible. Now, you need to send a credit card company something. I don't care if it's only $5 or $10 a month. And if they accept those payments, then they're pretty much accepting your payment terms, and they're working with you whether or not they realize they're working with you or not. So if you listen to me, and if you'll tell your friend this stuff from the last caller, that might help out some.
If you're in that kind of a situation, you would need to maybe eliminate some extra things that you might have. Like, I know how important internet is, but you can cut out your internet. I mean, that's what, $40-$50 a month less than you would right. More money that you would have in your pocket. Some people can go to the library and use the internet. Now, there's certain utilities that you have to have, like power, water, things like that you have to have. But consider cutting back on some things, cutting back on your expenses.
Cable TV.
Sure. I mean,
That's exactly right.
In this day and age, you hate to think about not having those things, but sometimes when it comes down to
survival,
yep. You have to just keep your necessities, and you might have to shed some of those luxuries that we've kind of grown accustomed to.
Yep, that's exactly right.
Well, actually, we need to take a break, and we'll be back with the Financial Framework Show, and we have a caller on the line. Steve, we'll take that call right now. Good afternoon. This is the Financial Framework Show. You're on with Steve Barfield. Hello.
Hello. Yes, the question that I have is, I am starting year number 7 of a 30-year mortgage, and I have an ARM interest rate, which can change. Right now, that interest rate is really good. It's 3.something%. But everybody is kind of telling me that we should move that into a fixed rate.
Yes, ma'am. That probably would be the right thing to do. And it would be best if you could work with the people that have your mortgage right now. Is it a large lender, or is it a small lender?
I don't think it's really large, but it's not a small one either.
Well, maybe they would work with you, but what you want to do is you want to make sure you lock yourself into a fixed rate, and right now the rates are, you know, fairly low. They would be higher than your adjustable rate, but not that much higher. And if you could land maybe a 5%, and I would probably do also, this shocks people a lot of times, but I would do a 30-year mortgage in place of a 15-year mortgage. And I know that doesn't make sense, but let me explain to you. If you can lock yourself into a 30-year fixed mortgage, you can accelerate the mortgage to an 8 or 10 or 7 or 15 or whatever you want to accelerate it to. Your payments are less. If you lock yourself into a 15-year fixed mortgage, then you're locked into those payments. And if you were to lose your job, if you were to, you know, anything happen to your finances, you're locked into those larger payments. And just for an example, it could be $400 or $500 less on a 30-year fix than it would be a 15-year mortgage. So does that make sense?
Yes, it does. And you think that I should go back to the original mortgage company and try to refinance with them first?
Yes, I would definitely go back to the original mortgage company, because what you're trying to do is you're trying to save as much money in closing costs and points as you possibly can. And if you go to an outside broker, they're definitely going to hit you with, you know, a lot of closing costs, and you want to try to avoid that if at all possible. But with the economy the way it is, I would definitely lean towards, you know, going to a fixed mortgage as soon as possible.
Okay. All right.
Any other questions?
No, not right now.
Okay, well, thank you, ma'am.
I'm enjoying the show.
Well, thank you for listening.
Thank you. That's a great call. You know, that's definitely a big question right now. You know, sometimes those adjustable rates look attractive, you know, on paper with a low interest rate. But what happens down the road if inflation hits and the interest rates go sky high? You're not locked into that low interest rate.
Nope, you're sure not. And with the economy being so unpredictable now, I don't really know what's going to happen.
You're right about the unpredictability of the economy, because a lot of people who have been around a lot longer than I have say times of uncertainty, this is definitely a big time of uncertainty for a lot of people. So as far as the financial market goes, it's
we're in a mess.
No doubt. We actually have another call, so let's go ahead and take that call. Good afternoon. This is the Financial Framework Show with Steve Barfield. Hello.
Yes, sir. I was calling about the one reverse mortgage program, like they show on TV.
Yes, ma'am.
That's a good question.
Exactly how does that work? I mean, does the government have a hand in it, or?
Well, they're supposedly backed by the government, and what happens, you would pretty much, your house would need to be paid off. Is your house paid off currently?
Yes, sir.
Okay, and then what would happen is they would do the reverse mortgage, and then they would give you, based on how much your home's worth, a certain amount of money on a monthly basis. They're kind of like buying your house, and then once something happens to you, then the mortgage then reverts back to the person that actually did the reverse mortgage. Now, why are you thinking about doing this, ma'am?
I was just checking into it because I was thinking about having some extra funds around here.
Well, are you retired already?
I'm working on my disability.
Working on disability?
Yes.
And have you gotten your disability yet?
No.
Okay. And are you old enough for Social Security yet?
No.
Okay, then I would probably do the reverse mortgage maybe as a last resort.
Okay.
Because you definitely don't want to lose the house and you need some income. But don't do – there's problems that people – they will actually make a permanent problem trying to fix a temporary problem. And if it's something that you could hold out on until the disability comes through or something happens for you, I would try to do that if at all possible.
Okay.
I don't know if that helps or not. Do you have any other debt, like credit cards or car payments, or those?
I've got a lot of medical bills that's piling up.
Yes, ma'am. Well, you need to talk to the medical, to the hospitals and the doctors, and let them know that you're working on trying to do the disability, and they will normally work with you on the payment plan and maybe even postpone it for a little while.
Mm-hmm.
There's some hardship situations where they can even write it off if they wanted to.
Okay, I got another question.
Yes, ma'am.
It's silly, but once the mortgage is paid off or whatever, will the government have the ability to take your house?
Well, they don't have the ability to take your house until you die.
Oh, okay.
And then when you die, you know, your family would not get it. It would actually be, it would be taken by the people that did the reverse mortgage.
Oh, okay.
But like I said, this would be a last resort if I were you. I would do everything that I could do, maybe yard sales and other things to raise money.
Okay.
But I would definitely make that a last resort. But it is a tool. I mean, even bankruptcy at times is a tool for people, but, you know, always is a last resort.
All right. Well, thanks for your time.
Well, thank you for listening, ma'am.
Bye-bye.
All right. Yeah, that I actually had thought about that last week, something that about the reverse mortgage. You see it on TV, but, you know, they really don't say much about it on TV.
Let me go into an email that was sent in from Tim in Nashville, Tennessee. He says, my wife and I recently heard someone say that we're wasting our money sending our children to Christian school. We do some sacrificing to allow them this privilege, but we felt like it was worth it. What do you think? Should we send them to public school or leave them in a Christian school? Well, I tell you what, this is an interesting question. And Tim, if I were you, if you can send your kids to a Christian school, I would definitely do that. There's no way around it. I wouldn't even consider it. I don't understand why somebody would say that in the first place. Now, I'm not saying there's anything wrong with public schools, but the public school systems nowadays, they seem to be a whole lot more liberal, and they're actually watering down the history of America anyway. My grandson goes to a middle school in Dallas, Georgia, and his social science teacher told him a couple of months ago that there is more Baptist bombers than there is Muslim bombers. It just beats all I've ever seen.
It's just amazing that history is being distorted way.
It's being absolutely distorted. So, you know, it matters. It matters a lot. If you can keep them in there, keep them in there. Now, I will say this, though, that it really does also matter what kind of home life your children have. And I always wanted to work on building my children's hearts. I wanted to teach them love and respect, and I wanted to make sure that they went to church, and I wanted them to know that Jesus loved them. And that's really what matters. So if you can instill all this goodness in them at home, no matter if they're in a private school, a Christian school, or a public school, it really doesn't matter. Teresa and I, my wife and I mean, we had three children by the time we were 19 years old, and they're now 36, 35, and soon be 34 years old. And they're all God-fearing Christians. They're productive. They're responsible. They're wonderful parents. And they're raising my grandchildren just like they were raised. So just keep them in the school if you possibly can, but once again, what you do for them at home is really and truly more important than where they go to school, because if you raise them right, they will always come back to the way they were raised. And I hope this helps, and don't take those kids out unless you have to, and thanks for the email, and maybe call in next time, because this is really an interesting question.
Well, that is a great question. You know, I believe that it really does have a lot to do with the home, how you're raised at home, how you're brought up. If you give your child a good enough of a head to make the decision for themselves, they can be like, well, this is what I heard at school, but I know that's not true. You know, I know what I've been taught growing up. It's just so like what you're talking about. Like with the social studies teacher, what you were talking about in middle school. I mean, I hear this, and, you know, I came up through public schools, and I did hear some of that stuff when I was in school. Not much, but
it's getting worse.
When I was in college, I heard it a lot in college. But I knew in my heart because of how I was raised.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of people are that way. We've got a call that has just come over, so we're going to take that call right now. Good afternoon. This is the Financial Framework Show with Steve Barfield. Hello.
Hello.
Yes.
Steve.
Yes, sir.
Yes, I just want to say I really enjoy your program. I've been listening to it for a couple of weeks now.
Well, thank you.
But I had a question. I know you see TV about how they're really promoting gold right now.
Right.
And I had some money, and I was just wondering, you know, would that be a good an option right now?
Well, it is and it isn't. I've always been torn about that, and now is probably gold prices are extremely high, and I don't know if they'll continue to go up or fall back to something normal. But you know, there's several situations that when you have gold, that you definitely can't tell anybody you have gold, and you want to if you were to decide to do this, you would want to make sure that you had the gold in hand. A lot of times, these companies will simply send you a certificate saying you own it. I've never trusted those situations. I would definitely want to take the gold in possession. But are you already retired, or what is your situation?
Yeah.
You are retired?
Yes, sir. Uh-huh.
Well, if it's just extra money that you have, and just you know, maybe play money, then it definitely wouldn't hurt. It would have been better if you'd have bought it back, you know, 2 or 3 years ago. But once again, we don't have crystal balls. We really don't know anything about the future. But you know, I definitely couldn't hurt.
Right. But, well, it looked like a maybe. You know, maybe you're right. I should have done it a couple of years ago. But it was, you know, I was just thinking about what your opinion would be.
Well, what you would do is maybe from some of those companies. Well, actually, if you listen to Glenn Beck, I can't remember the name of the company that he uses, but
is it Goldline?
It might be Goldline, yeah. but you know, try 2 or 3 of those companies and look at their material and just see which one sounds the best. And if you get a chance, call back and let us know what you decided, so that we'll kind of know what to tell people.
Okay. Well, I really enjoy your program.
Okay. Well, thank you, sir. Thank you for calling.
Okay.
That's bye-bye. That's a great question. Again, to gold, it seems like it just keeps on getting higher and higher and higher. And you hear the old phrase, buy low, sell high.
Right.
Well, it's not low right now. That's the thing.
High.
It's real high. That was a great question. And we need to take another break. It's the Financial Framework Show with Steve Barfield. Back after this. Quickly, Steve, we got a couple of calls on the line, so let's take one of these calls. We go to line one. Good afternoon. This is the Financial Framework Show with Steve Barfield. Hello.
Yes. I was listening to you a while ago about the Christian schools.
Yes, sir.
You're paying taxes for your kids to go to school.
Yes, sir.
Why not use your tax money for them kids to go to school?
Well, that's definitely a good argument. That's a good point. It's just what's happening now is some of the stuff that's being taught in the schools today is what people are actually trying to avoid and trying to protect their kids from, where they can't pray in school, they can't do the Pledge of Allegiance. There's several reasons why people would pick a Christian school over a public school. But I understand what you're saying. My children went to public school. I went to public school. And I honestly feel like, though, that if you take care of raising a kid at home the way it's supposed to be, it really doesn't matter.
There you go.
There
you go.
Yes, sir.
What happens at home is what it is.
That's exactly right.
It ain't what happens in school.
No, sir, but if you have a child that's, and it sounds like you did a good job with your children, and I know I did a good job with my children, the problem is, see, if you've got somebody that don't do a good job with them and they go to the wrong school and they listen and learn all this stuff that's wrong, it's going to destroy our country. So there's an argument on both sides, and I agree with you, but I also agree with the other guy, too, because I guess if he can afford to do that, that's probably the best thing he can do.
Well, that's wasting money, if you ask me.
well, and here again, you've done a good job of your kids, it sounds like. And,
yes, I did.
And so that would be...
They respect adults. It don't make no difference who they are, what they say. If they come home and it's said and it's wrong, they know it's wrong.
Right.
Absolutely.
Well, if everybody was like you, and if everybody raised their kids the way I did, you know, our country would be in a lot different shape than it is right now. But
yes, it would.
Yes, sir. And so you're right. But like I said, the other guy, and I don't even know what the situation is in Nashville, Tennessee. That's where he was from. I don't know. Maybe they're having some trouble with the public schools there. But, you know, just like I said earlier, when my grandson came home and told me what the social science teacher, and this is in middle school,
yeah.
and she actually said that there's more Baptist bombers than there is Muslim bombers. And that tore our whole family up. We couldn't believe that a teacher would say that.
I agree with that.
Yes.
I mean, the teacher should have never said that.
No, sir. She sure shouldn't have, of course.
And if she said that, she shouldn't be teaching.
That's exactly right. But see, you can't run them off anymore. So that's why a lot of these people are probably spending the money to send their kids to private schools to try to avoid this. So But I really, really appreciate you listening to the show. And if you agree with me, okay. And if you don't, that's okay, because you can call and let me know. How about that?
All right. Thank you.
Yes, sir. Thank you.
That's a good call. Well, we've got another call on the line. Good afternoon. It's the Financial Framework Show with Steve Barfield. Hello.
Hey, this is Jay from Dallas.
Yes, sir.
I have a question. I have a mortgage that I paid $149.9 for, and now all about $129.9, and I'm actually too high to take my PMI off, yet I've been told that I'm really a little bit too high for a refinance. I have a refinance at about 5. I mean, I have a interest rate at about 5.75, and I really would like to, you know, breathe a little bit more. My mortgage is $1,155 a month. Is there anything that you could recommend that I could do?
Well, have you done the math to see exactly when the PMI would drop off?
It would be when I hit about $10,000 more dollars.
Okay.
$119,000.
Okay. Well, how is your finances now? I mean, do you have other debt other than just the mortgage?
I have a credit card that when we accumulated some bills, we
put it on.
Put, you know, all one card. Yeah, but it's about $17,000. But we're working on paying that off.
Yeah, work on paying that off, because that's a good way to earn 29% to pay that thing off. And, you know, everything that when it comes to money and debt, it's just a math issue. And I really like to study things. And in like your situation, you've got a 5.75 is not a bad rate. Usually, if you can save a point or so, it's kind of worthwhile in refinancing, especially if you can keep the closing costs down. But then again, if you look at the math, if you were to be able to afford to, of course, you want to knock this credit card out as soon as you can, but also if you could apply more money each month to the principal of this mortgage and knock out that $10,000 faster, that would give you a little bit of freedom there, a little bit of relief on that mortgage, because if you go through the refi process, if you don't do it with a lender, and even if you do it with a lender, you're not guaranteed not to pay a high closing cost. But if you go outside, if you go outside to one of these brokers that advertise on the radio all the time, you know, you're going to pay a point or two just in closing costs. So
right. It
all becomes a math issue. If you want to write down my email address, do you have a piece of paper? And I will.
Yes.
Okay, and I'll try to work with you on this and see if we can't figure out which math is better for you.
Okay. Yeah.
Send it to Steve Barfield at financialframeworkseminar.com.
Okay. I'll do that.
Okay, if you'll just email me, then I will help you do the math on it and help you figure out how to get some relief on that. I'll tell you what else I'll do too. If you'll email me, I'll send you a fact finder and I'll give you a blueprint that's actually included in our seminar.
Okay.
And I think you'll really enjoy that. And as a matter of fact, since you're in Dallas, I don't know if you heard the first part of the show or not, but I'm going to be at the Fortified Hills Baptist Church later on this month, and the seminar is going to start the 1st of March.
Great. Okay. I'd like to get some information on that. Hey, will it be on your website?
Yes, sir. It'll be on the website, which is financialframeworkseminar.com.
Okay. I'll check that out. Well, thank you so much.
Well, thank you, sir.
Okay, bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Well, that's about it for the show right now. We're going to take a break, and we'll be back with the conclusion of our show right after this.
We had some great questions today, and I hope that I was able to help you with important information that will have a definite impact on your lives and will put you in a position to win in life. I can't save America from debt myself. I need everyone who will participate to help me with this most important quest. Encourage your friends and relatives to listen to the show and be a part of Saving America. In the past, we've given you some information about the churches around the country that are running a Financial Framework Seminar. Earlier, I gave you the reports of two, one in Cedartown and one in Dallas, Georgia. But due to the amount of time that it takes, and as more and more churches sign on to host a seminar, we have put the information on the website. You can find it at the bottom of the main page under the church registration tab. Find a church in your area and attend the Financial Framework preview meeting. A preview
preview meeting, once again, will last about 30 minutes, and you'll be shown how the Financial Framework Seminar is similar to the other seminars being offered, and then how the Financial Framework Seminar is different. The Financial Framework Seminar comes with a real plan and the tools that can make your quest to become debt-free much, much easier. You can also go to the Financial Framework Seminar website and learn more about the seminar. The web address is www.financialframeworkseminar.com. That is www.financialframeworkseminar.com. And if you can't find a church in your area, maybe you can get us in touch with someone at your church. We can contact them and see if they would consider putting on the Financial Framework Seminar, which to a point is similar to the other financial seminars that are taught in churches, but the Financial Framework Seminar comes with a personalized plan that tells you the exact month and year that you can be debt-free. The average family, once again, you've heard me say this before, becomes debt-free in as little as 8 to 12 years, and this is accomplished while spending their same current monthly payments. You don't have to sell your stuff or suffer any more than you're already suffering. Being in debt is tough enough. Being in debt is hard, and it's hard to get out of debt. But the Financial Framework Seminar and its incredible tools makes it much easier than trying to figure it out on your own. No one is as serious about saving America from debt than we are. And I think you will see this once you have attended the seminar. And let me give a message directly to the pastors and deacons that are listening today. I know that nationwide, tithing is down between 20 and 30%. I also know that it is not a heart thing. Your congregations, they want to give, and they want to give all they can. It's a budget and a debt issue. And unless you address the problem, unless you hit it right on the head, unless you fix it, next year is going to be even worse. Your congregations, they need a plan. They need to have their financial ducks in a row. Once this happens, your churches will be overwhelmed with giving from its members. Give us a call or go to the website, because if you do nothing, a lot of people will pay the price. And as you will hear me often say, even the smallest mistakes that you make today will be magnified many times over in the future. Get in touch with us and let's fix this problem. And always pray for our brave soldiers around the world that are sacrificing for our freedom and way of life. And don't forget about their families who are also giving us a piece of their lives each and every day to make us safe and secure. Our soldiers are modern day heroes and they should be treated that way. Please always keep them in your prayers. Now, if you missed any of the show today, you can go to the website at www.financialframeworkshow.com. That's www.financialframeworkshow.com. Look in the top right-hand corner for the login button, and in there you'll see the WGAA radio section. Each week's broadcast is archived there for you to go back and listen to whenever you have time. Don't forget, next week you can catch a Financial Framework show on Wednesday at 3:05 p.m. Get your questions ready and let's talk them over. And don't forget, I'll be at the Rolling Hills Baptist Church on February 27th.